Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Paul, there's so much talk about the Fed, but I'm willing to bet a lot of people have no idea what the Federal Reserve actually does. So,
it's a great question, Larry. What do they do?
We've reached out to the chief investment officer with the Fergrasso Financial Group, Michael Godwin, who's no stranger to us. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to speak with you again.
You're probably thinking, why do people want to know about the Fed? That's boring. But please illuminate us. What is the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, Larry, try not to fall asleep on this one. I'll do my best. the Federal Reserve, it was created back in the early 1900s after a number of financial crises showed that we needed a central institution to help stabilize the economy and the banking system. And it has evolved really over the years to the point where it is today. Now, the Federal Reserve sets what is called the federal funds rate. Okay, this is an interest rate that commercial banks can lend to one another. And this rate influences other interest rates that are important to people like us, right? It influences mortgage rates, credit card rates, and car loans. So overall, the Federal Reserve only cares about two things. This is what's important, I think. It cares about two things. It cares about price stability. They want to have inflation targeted 2% per year. So prices go up on average about 2% per year. And they care about full employment, making sure that the economy really is kind of humming along from an employment standpoint. I personally think they care about the employment side a lot more than the inflation side, but those are the two big things that the Federal Reserve cares about. And they move interest rates in accordance to those two metrics, one, inflation, and two, employment.
So the question that I have is when I read like opinion pieces or reporting on people who are opposed to the Fed policy, and some of them even want to see the Fed outlawed, what's your reaction to all of that?
Well, the stuff you're seeing today regarding whether it's President Trump trying to influence, what the Federal Reserve is doing. I mean, the Federal Reserve has had a longstanding sort of relationship with the federal government. They're kind of like a quasi-government institution, but they are set up to be independent from the federal government, meaning that no president, no Congress shouldn't have any influence on what the Federal Reserve does when they set interest rates. So President Donald Trump, obviously a very opinionated president, has really pushed for Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. He wants to continue to stimulate the economy as much as he can. He wants to get mortgage rates down. One of the ways to do that is to try to influence the Federal Reserve rate in doing so. But now you get to a point where one of the members of the Federal Reserve chair or board has come into some sort of hot water with, you know, mortgage applications, and President Trump is trying to push her out as well. So I really don't love seeing the independence of the Fed being tampered with.
And so that's right now a bone of contention. Lisa Cook got bumped. They're saying that there was cause, some mortgage application inconsistencies is suggested the reason why, but there's going to be a battle there. That said, the rest of us are waiting, and the Fed has not lowered the rates for quite some time after raising them consistently over a period of a few years. And the hope is for a lot of people, to your point, other interest rates are directly affected, that they will lower the interest rates maybe in September. Is that correct?
That's correct, Larry. I think it's a highly likely probability that they'll lower in September. You can track this in the markets. I'll give you a percentage number here, but the markets are expecting the Federal Reserve to cut rates by, it's an 87% likelihood that they'll cut rates right now by just a quarter of a percentage point in September, and they're likely to cut at least one more time by the end of the year. So the betting markets are saying that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates two times for a total of 0.5% by the end of 2025. And hopefully that allows other, restrictive rates, like mortgage rates are still very, very high, to kind of follow suit and come down a little bit as the year progresses.
Now, nationally, mortgages have, home sales rather, have kind of hit a plateau. They're pretty low and have been that way for some time now. And these two hikes you're talking about of 0.25%, what effect will that have on mortgage rates?
Yeah, the two cuts, so the Federal Reserve, when they cut there, it does not directly affect mortgage rates. It does not directly affect car loan rates, credit card rates, but it does indirectly affect them. So we should see some sort of correlated response downward in mortgage rates. It might not be a 0.5%, but we should still see some downward directional movement when the Federal Reserve cuts rates with, you know, and mortgage rates coming down as well.
That said, this time of year, I'm sure people, even though we're coming into the fourth quarter here shortly, already trying to plan what's, you know, the game plan to make sure you're in the best position as you get ready to end the year. So what are you telling people?
From a market standpoint, it's cliched as it sounds, Larry, and I'm not a fan of cliches in my business. We have a lot of them. But staying the course is probably the best way to do it. One, I keep telling clients, you can never, ever make investment decisions based on geopolitical moves, geopolitical outcomes. You don't know what's going to happen in Washington. You don't know how the tariff regime is going to play out with any given country for the most part going forward. We're seeing a bunch of stuff change right now with India, for example. So having a very, very well-balanced, well-diversified portfolio, making sure you own securities that can do well in any different kind of economic environment is paramount, I believe, in the situation that we're in today.
Michael, always appreciate your conversation and time. Thank you.
Great speaking with you, Larry. Have a great rest of the day.
Chief Investment Officer with the Fragasso Financial Group, Bob Fragasso and his team.
What I really liked was his explanation of the independence of the Fed.
Right.
That really helps.
Yeah, I mean, that helps us understand. And I pulled this from the files. Remember when the president had a reality show?
Yes, this thing with Lisa Cook, by the way, the president said that he had fired her. You know, based on what we heard from Michael moments ago, the independence of the Fed would seem to preclude that. And I know that Cook has said that she's going to refuse to go. You mentioned a battle, and there it is right there.
Right, and we'll see where it goes because it's unprecedented. Presented by Metropolitan Window Company and also our KDK Radio YouTube page. You can see inside behind where the sausage is made, and many of our guests down up here. Yeah, you should call Ernie Ritchie.
I don't know why people want to see, but, you know.
So this whole Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce engagement.
Yes, America's pseudo-royal couple now.
Yeah.
Official, I think.
Tamira Rush shared with us what Donald Trump said, because, you know, he had been at odds with Taylor, saying she was washed up and
that's right,
had no talent. Here's what he said yesterday when asked about it at a cabinet meeting.
Well, I wish him a lot of luck. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy. And I think that she's a terrific person. So I wish them a lot of luck.
Ah, see what love can do, Aaron?
There's the pivot right there.
Love can change the world. And here's,
well, I know that I'm feeling better already.
And can I just say, I saw a funny video on social media yesterday of a guy who said, Taylor Swift just posted her engagement announcement like your average girl that you went to high school with. Like, oh, she's engaged, no big deal. It felt so, like, big and also just, yeah, we're ordinary people who want to get married. It was interesting.
Look what's on TV on Pittsburgh Today Live. A woman with the terrible bra.
Whoa.
On television. You see in this,
Paul? Pretty big.
And, you know, there's certain things you can't unsee, and this is one of them.
Yeah, truly.
Well, here's where we are in the world.
Oh, gosh.
Taylor and Travis and the terrible bra. But more on this betrothment with CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Swift said yes. The superstar and pro football player Travis Kelce announced they are engaged. In an Instagram post, the couple wrote, "Your English teacher and your gym teacher are getting married." The post was accompanied by the song So High School, which is rumored to be about the three-time Super Bowl winner. You belong with me. enchanted love story started about 2 years ago after the Kansas City Chiefs tight end pursued the singer-songwriter.
I had never experienced something so mesmerizing on stage and then so real and so beautiful in person.
Earlier this month, the two filled in some blank spaces for the Swifties about their relationship on Kelce's podcast, New Heights, with his brother Jason.
A huge green flag is that Travis has had the same friends since he's probably 4 years old.
I think this is the equivalent of a royal wedding.
Variety's senior writer and chief music critic Chris Willman says this is one of the biggest celebrity couplings in modern times.
We've never seen anything quite like this, I don't think, in terms of people coming together from different worlds who are just superstars in those worlds. They are going to be the homecoming king and queen of America.
Swift has a new 12-track album, The Life of a Showgirl, coming out later this year. And Kelce's football season kicks off next week. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, New York.
So there you have
it. Well, Larry, if there is television coverage of the wedding, and I expect that there'll be a lot of speculation about, I think it'll probably happen.
Will they allow it?
I think
it?
So, too.
If there is television coverage, the ratings are going to go off the map.
Right.
And they looked at the ring and believe it to be 9 carats, valued at roughly $1 million. How about some people saying, is that all he spent? He has more money than that. Really?
Right.
All right. Cracker Barrel has backtracked after a week of pushback from Cracker Barrel fans and otherwise.
Yes, old Uncle Herschel was leaning on the barrel that's been on the logo all these years, and they wanted to remove that and just clean up the logo and make it very simplistic, which didn't go over very well. A lot of pushback. At first they said what they were trying to do and tried to calm people down, and then they said they were going to be listening, and then yesterday they issued a statement saying, never mind. Now are they going to do, they were going to spend $700 million. On this rebrand. And that's not just for the signs, the logos. They're going to redo the interiors of the restaurant. And that's the question. Will they continue with that? Because the ones they've redone are making the rounds on social media and people don't like it.
They're going to scrap using this song as a new theme.
Yeah. Jed's a millionaire.
Can I just say
Jed,
on that?
Move away from there.
It's authentic. And one thing about this generation too, they like authenticity. And I think maybe they were like, that's just who you are. Just stay that way.
You know, the pushback came from the upper demos, and they're trying to attract younger diners. And I'm thinking the uniqueness, and if the food quality is good, who cares what it looks like inside,
true.
Right?
I think you're right about that. This is one of those stories where you can't believe the pushback it got.
I think the reason is, Larry, very simply, is that their customer base has made a really strong bond with the brand and what the kind of food they serve. And I think there's a lot of emotion tied to it.
Oh, there's no question.
You know, I mean, you know, who doesn't think of how their grandmother or their mother could make the best biscuits in the world, right?
Well,
where can you go and get good biscuits these days? There's not a lot of places.
Well, how about locally, like Eaton Park and that chain?
There you go.
Born and bred right here.
I mean, what would the reaction be if Eaton Park got rid of the smiley cookie?
Wow, that's a good question.
The same thing, isn't it?
And they're not even, my hot take at least, is they're not even that great, but it would be an uproar. It would be an uproar.
That's right, because it's a tradition. It's part of our culture.
Well, guess what shows up every Christmas? That commercial.
Wonderful tree commercial.
Oh, yes.
The tree that bends down with the star, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that touching?
Marty just arrived from Cracker Barrel. He was over there.
Oh, I could just see him chowing down a Cracker Barrel. Wow.
That's a beautiful thing. So here comes Christine. We're going to talk to Christine about Kidsburg coming up next. Fin 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty in the next few minutes. And every Wednesday, we welcome Marty's wife, Christine Sorensen, KDK-TV anchorwoman. Christine, good morning.
Good morning.
Seems like slowly people are settling in. The school year has begun for most all the schools back in class. However, Labor Day weekend always kind of signaled the end of summer, and you've got a list of some great end of summer events.
Yeah, it really is that time. We're kind of wrapping up all the fun summer things, and there's two things I don't want people to miss on our Kidsburg weekend guide. We put this out every week. Get on our eblast, kidsburg.org, and you'll be the first to get it. But one of them is the Summer Friday at the Frick. And this is this Friday, 6 p.m. it starts, and they've got a really fun 80s band. It's free to go. You sit on this gorgeous lawn. I mean, you've been there, Larry. You don't feel like you're in the city. It's right. Unbelievable.
It's like its own little safe zone. I don't know. It's just a cool departure from the hustle and bustle right there in the city.
In Point Breeze, right. You're surrounded by gorgeous trees, this gorgeous mansion, you know, greenhouse, museum. Absolutely beautiful. What a great way to end the summer. And then also this weekend, it's the final weekend at the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh for their exhibit called I Am Wild. It's the Charlie Harper exhibit. A lot of families will know his books and recognize his wonderful imagery. So this is your last weekend to check that out.
And I would imagine there's going to be a lot of picnics and that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, there are. There's so many things. Check out our Kidsburg guide. There's also the fair coming up for the, hold on, it's the Big Knob Grange Fair. That one's in Beaver County. So this is just some of the many things going on. And then I want people, now that we're kind of into fall, to think about looking at your calendar and getting some shows on the calendar. Because once they're, you know, you get your tickets in advance, you're all set up. And the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust has a wonderful series called the Trust Family Series, and they've got some really fun shows coming up, but they're at the Byam and they will sell out. So if you want to think about some of these shows, now's a great time to get in on them. The first one coming up September 27th is Dog Man, the musical. I know a lot of families love the Dog Man books.
Right.
Yeah, they're super fun. So that's a great touring show. And then in right before Halloween in October is The Fourth Witch. This is going to be really cool. It's shadow puppetry, actors in silhouette, live music. And then Saturday, November 22nd, it's a really cool circus called the Omnium Circus, I'm Possible. It's all about accessibility and inclusivity. There are even folks with disabilities in the show that you may not necessarily think of in circus, and that's going to be a really cool show. Those are just some of the many in the series that continues into the spring. So get your tickets now, and that way you won't miss it.
That's a good idea, because it kind of creeps up on you, and
it
you don't have, sometimes you can't get the tickets when you want them.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, before we get into, I saw your story, by the way, on the hand, foot, and mouth disease on KDK TV. Before we get into that, how about the popularity of the Savannah bananas?
Oh, my goodness. It's sold out. Yeah, it's crazy. I think there's like standing room only.
And the standing room only I saw on some of the ticket websites was like $120.
Oh, yeah. I heard $200. Yeah. That's how popular they are. And our Mary Hours is going to be singing the national anthem.
She is.
She's super excited. Yeah, it's going to be an unbelievable, I mean, basically a show, right? It's entertainment and baseball all mixed in one.
Right. And this is kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
So a lot of big entertainment. By the way, there are two Pittsburghers who are part of the team. And we're going to try to track them down. Alex Ziegler and Ryan Cox. Alex is from Butler. Ryan's from Raccoon Township. Ryan always wanted to play Major League Baseball. Grew up here wanting to be a Pirate shortstop. Guess where he's going to be Friday night on that field at shortstop?
Oh, I love it. I love it. What a cool story.
All right. When you go back to school, you know, it's like a Petri dish. All the kids mixing it up. And so we're finding, and you pointed this out in your story on KDK TV, a resurgence of hand, foot, and mouth disease. What is that for people that don't know?
It's a virus. So like any other virus, it's contagious, but it's most well known and obvious because it presents as a rash on your hands, your feet, and your mouth. So often on the palms of your hands. So not like where you touch something, you know, and get a rash. It's on the palms and on the bottom of your feet often, and then in and around your mouth. And it's mainly in kids under five. So it's very young children. And it is very common this time of year, but they said this year it's even worse than normal. There's a new strain going around. And people are also still having a little bit of a weakened immune system since the pandemic. So this is something you very well might see in your family. It is very contagious. So you want to try, and it can be spread through coughing. So wipe surfaces, because kids are not always the best about covering their mouths. You know, if they have open sores, make sure they're wearing clothes that are covered. And then if they are experiencing the fever or sore throat that can come with this, you can give them Tylenol, ibuprofen. The time when you might want to see the doctor is if they're really getting dehydrated because they're having trouble eating and drinking because of the sore throat. But other than that, you mainly want to try and avoid close contact with infected people. Don't let them go to school or daycare so that we don't spread this even more.
So they basically kind of ride it out unless it gets extreme.
Right. It's pretty much all you can do.
And yeah. There'll be other things the kids bring home from school besides their homework.
Right. That fun time of year.
By the way, how's it going for your two college daughters?
Yeah, they're doing good. Classes started Monday at Pitt, so that's always exciting, and things are going smoothly so far. So Chloe actually has three classes in the Cathedral of Learning,
oh, that's cool.
Which is such a gorgeous building. In fact, during the Pitt Welcome Week, I went and on the tour of the Hines Memorial Chapel, which I'd never been inside and was absolutely exquisite.
I got married there.
You did?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
It's beautiful. It's Gothic church.
It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a little treasure. That, and for those that don't know, the Cathedral of Learning is the tallest learning building in the world, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. All of those, you know, really neat places on Pitt's campus. So, yeah, everything's going well.
All right. Are you going to stick around and be with Marty?
I'm here with Marty from 10 to 11.
Thank you, Christine.
Thanks.
Go to kidsburg.org.
Cameras are coming to Pittsburgh's most dangerous intersections, and there will be tickets for the drivers who run red lights.
They want to take your picture. Actually, they don't want your picture. They want your license plate. And apparently, they're pretty good at this technology. So you may get a ticket eventually.
Yeah, the first tickets will be warnings.
It could be like 2 weeks later, too. You might not even remember being there.
But if you like to go right through, well, then that's going to be $100 at some point. After a strong pushback, Cracker Barrel ditching its new logo, they said in a statement.
We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old timer will remain.
So the people have spoken. And in a week, and after their stock price dropped about $150 million, and you said they had renovation plans that would cost, what, $750 million?
Right, $700 million to change the logo, the signage, and then redo the interiors. Don't know if they're going to still continue with that or not, but $700 million's a big chunk of change.
What's that guy's name, Uncle Cracker?
Uncle Herschel.
Oh, Herschel, yeah. Well, maybe he could play the Powerball tonight.
There you go.
$815 million.
That'll cover it. And the Bucks have won 5 of the past 6 games.
The Pirates build a huge lead for Mitch Keller, and he would keep it in a quality start and earning the victory. Did Keller and the Pirates in an 8-3 win on Tuesday night at Busch Stadium.
Pirates broadcaster Joe Block, quietly, they've been winning.
They're about a 500 team under Don Kelly.
And the Steelers are down to the 53-man roster. And
no big surprises for me, Larry. How about you?
Just that they kept 4 quarterbacks for now, but that won't last.
I like that idea.
Coming up next, thanks, Paul. We're going to check in with Marty Griffin.